Certainly desire an interest in your prayers this morning. I ask that you pray that the Lord would bless this service to His glory and to His praise. The song service has been just a wonderful blessing. I appreciate being able to enjoy the song service with each one, and it blessed my soul. And among the many blessings that are here, it is such a blessing to see all of the young folks that are here this morning. I am so blessed by the attendance and presence of the young folks, everybody that's here, but especially the young folks. I imposed on Brother Kenny and asked if immediately after the handshake, after the service, if there is a handshake, if we could impose on all the young folks to gather up here and get a picture of all the young folks. You all are such a blessing and encouragement to all of us. So I'll let you decide where that age line is on whether you fall in that category or not, but would sure like to get a picture of everybody that all the young folks here this morning. Brother Don and I talked last night as I was traveling to my place of lodging and Brother Fritz and Sister Jamie's home, and he said, you know, we're supposed to preach what the Lord puts on our heart. And last night I thought I knew what the Lord wanted me to preach, but this morning, if I'm not deceived, and that's possible, my thoughts changed. And I hope that the Lord will bless the time that we stand before you, and I hope it will honor Him. This morning, I feel inclined to speak on some things that it's good for all of us, but it's especially important for the young folks. I am so thankful for the young folks. The older I get, the more thankful I am for all of the young folks. Young folks face a whole lot of challenges here in this life, more than what I remember when I was a child. And yet God's Word gives us many warnings that warn us, and they also give us many encouragements and scriptures to help us face these challenges that young folks have. So it's not a surprise to God, and so God equips us to be able to face the challenges. And it's good if we can learn this in our youth. Joel chapter 2 starts out and says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm. Anybody here like alarm clocks? Any kind of alarm? I don't like alarm clocks. I just almost refuse to use an alarm clock. I've not found one that's got a pleasant sound to it, especially at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. There's just not a pleasant sound of an alarm. I pray that this morning, this alarm that we sound will maybe do what it's supposed to, alert us, wake us up, give us warning. But I hope that if God blesses by the end of the message, we'll see that there is a pleasant sound that comes as the result of being awakened and in tune to the things of the Lord. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, and for it is nigh at hand. Then he comes on down in the latter part of the chapter, and he says, turn ye, even, verse 12, even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning. And he says, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, and he's slow to anger, and he's of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Verse 14, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. We are totally dependent in our nation, in our churches, in our land, on the Lord turning and leaving a blessing behind. We're totally dependent upon the Lord in our families, that God would have mercy upon us and leave a blessing behind. young folks. Galatians chapter 6 tells us, verse 7, be not deceived. Well, who is it that's the deceiver? You can go over to Revelations, and in the book of Revelation, it describes who the deceiver is. It's that old dragon. It's that old serpent. He's the father of lies, and his desire and intent is to deceive you. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. He says, for whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. I don't know if folks have gardens anymore. Back when I grew up here in West Texas, in the spring, Brother George would go out and he'd get a patch of ground near Idaloo, and he'd plant a lot of vegetables. He'd plant some black-eyed peas, green beans, tomatoes, okra, all kinds of corn, all kinds of stuff like that. And he did it for the preparation of having vegetables for his family, but he primarily did it so that in August, when the association came around, back then we called it the association, when it was association time, about 2 weeks before the association, folks would gather around at somebody's home. They'd go out and they'd pick all the vegetables, and then they'd set up until late hours of the night, shelling peas and preparing green beans and gathering tomatoes and corn and things like that for the association. Any of you remember those times? Well, when Brother George planted tomatoes, he fully expected that it would produce tomatoes. When he planted corn, when that corn came up, he fully expected that he would harvest corn. When he planted black-eyed peas, he went out there, and it wasn't a surprise to him of what was coming up and soon to be harvested was black-eyed peas. And he's teaching the principle here, and he says, be not deceived, don't be confused. God is not going to be mocked. He says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that means what seeds are you planting right now? Young folks, you're planting some seeds right now, and you're going to harvest those seeds. As we get older, we plant seeds. All throughout our life, we plant seeds. And he says that, be not deceived, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Have a young man that I've known since he was a baby. And he was overtaken with, he got into drugs, grew up in a good home, in a good family, great parents, great siblings, was at church much of the time, but he got influenced with drugs. And he told me, after he worked through some of the rehab process of overcoming some of these drugs, after traveling to different states and spending a lot of time, he told me at one point, he said, Brother Stephen, he said, there's 2 years out of my life that I totally wasted. There's 2 years out of my life. He's now in his early 20s. He said, there's 2 years out of my life, that segment of my life that's totally gone. Do you know what? He's blessed if he only lost 2 years out of his life. Because if you pursue that course of even flirting with drugs, it'll get a grip on you, and you'll be blessed if you only lose 2 years out of your life. There's folks that lose their entire life, and there's folks that end up losing their life. Don't think, if you're even toying with the idea right now, if you're even considering the idea, you realize that Satan is enticing you, and it is a lie of Satan that you're about to bite into, and it's going to have an impact upon your life and those that are around you. Be not deceived. God is not going to be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Maybe you don't have these challenges down here in Texas. I know we're in the Bible Belt, and I'm sure that you don't have the challenges that we do up in that liberal Yankee country. That's what I'm told oftentimes. So I'm so glad to know that you all don't have those challenges that we face up there. A while back, I had a funeral for a brother, early 50s, had 5 children. When the autopsy came back, the cause of death was an overdose of opiates, heroin abuse. Got another young brother that attends our service that grew up in the backwoods of Kentucky. Grew up going to church with his mom and dad, loving the Lord. He said, my brother, who we were always so very close, he said, my brother, 31 years of age, died of an overdose of heroin. Satan's attacks are real. They're real in the day that we live. And he's cunning and he's crafty. And if he can't reach a young person in one direction, he'll go in another direction. And his whole purpose is to deceive you, is to make you think that the course that you're considering is going to make you feel good. It's going to make you feel better. Or it's going to make you popular. You're going to be in the in crowd. You're going to be in because everybody's doing it. Do you know that just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right? And in fact, sometimes because everybody's doing it, that's a real good sign that you ought to consider and see, is the Lord really in this? Because just because everybody's doing it, that doesn't make it right. Let's look at some scriptures that give us a little bit of warning, and then some scriptures that will give us some ammunition for Satan's fiery attacks. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, I believe he's giving verse 9 for all the rest of us here that don't fall in that category anymore of being young. He says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That verse is to the rest of us here that get weary in our journey along. Satan's attack is to cause us to want to pitch in the towel, to give up, to be overwhelmed, to be overcome with discouragement, and then we stop or we get slow in our journey along the way. And what he says right here, he says, don't you get weary in well-doing. Don't you faint along the way. You be encouraged in the Lord to continue on. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Romans chapter 12. If you want to write some of these verses down and go home and read them, I'll encourage you to do that. Here's some verses that I've had the blessing of sharing with some young folks that have helped me along the way, and I trust they'll be a blessing to you. I trust that one of these verses will be an encouragement and a blessing to you. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Abhor. What does abhor mean? It means detest. It means to hate. He says, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. He starts out and he just clearly tells us that if something is evil, we ought to abhor it. In the day in which we live, we're so taught, we're so desensitized to things around us that everything's all right. Or if anybody, if it feels good, it's okay. Here, Paul says that we are to abhor, we're to hate or detest that which is evil, and we're to cleave to that which is good. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. What's good manners? Good manners is that you've been brought up going to church. Good manners is that you set aside time to read God's word, that you set aside time to pray to the Lord, that you associate with godly people. But he tells us a principle right here, and here's one of the lies that Satan will sell us on this. He says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. I want to tell you what one of the lies are that Satan deceives us with on this verse right here. I've heard it, so I know it. I've heard young folks say, not just young folks, grown folks as well. I've heard folks say, well, I'm stronger than that. Or I can be around an ungodly influence and it's not going to affect me because I'm stronger than that. Let me tell you something. You're not stronger than that. You're not. You can't stand in your own strength. And if you're around the ungodly, it's going to eventually rub off on you. You get around fire, you're going to smell like smoke. You are. You say, well, I'm stronger than that. Well, if you are, then this verse is not true. He says right here, be not deceived. It's a lie from Satan. If you think that you can be around the ungodly, you can associate with the ungodly, and it not affect you to some degree. I've heard folks say, well, I'll be a good influence on them. Well, let them come over into your camp and you be a good influence on them. But you don't go over into theirs. I had one gentleman that I knew that he was struggling with alcohol. And he told me, he said, Brother Stephen, I'm not going to drink, but I am going to volunteer to be the designated driver for a group of folks. I said, brother, you're setting yourself up for tremendous failure if you even enter into that environment. He said, oh, I'm stronger than that. I'm that's behind me. You know what? He set himself up as the designated driver, and exactly what I thought would happen did happen. He fell. He did. This is a principle that's in God's word. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There's a wonderful family that back east that the father shared this story with me. I think I may have told you this about a year ago, but his daughter had overcome an addiction to alcohol and drugs, and she was doing so very well. And one evening she told her dad that she was going out with her friends, and he said, well, where are you going? And she said, well, I'm just going out. And he said, well, where are you going out? And he tried to encourage her not to go out, and she did anyway. She went out after she had gone through all of the process and all of the rehab. She went out with her friends, and when she got totally wasted, her friends turned on her. They left her where she was. Somebody called the parent, the mother and father. They went and picked up their daughter, probably less than 20 years old. And she was sitting in the back seat of a pickup. There were two seats in the pickup. And as they were journeying, taking her home about 3:00 in the morning, she was so out of her right mind. She started arguing with her parents. And they had told her time and time again not to run with those friends, not to run with those people. She opened the door and jumped out of the car. And the dad in the rearview mirror saw his daughter bounce on the road to her death. You think Satan paints a beautiful picture that has a beautiful ending? Absolutely not. Satan's intent for young people is to destroy you, and he won't stop with anything but attempting to do that all of your young life. This is just a warning. It's just a warning. Another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Do you know one of the, Brother Afton Richards taught us so much by example and so much by the messages that he preached. But I can just clearly hear Brother Afton preaching and using this verse right here. And he said, when it says to abstain from all appearance of evil, he says, do you know one of the best defenses against sin? One of the best defenses against sin is distance. Put some distance between yourself and sin. And that's what he's saying right here. He says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Put some distance between yourself and sin. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days draw nigh. The evil days we talked about last night. That old age is not always described as the glorious years, as you might see on television when they're advertising some of these amenities of old age, that it's such a wonderful time. You see folks that are just having the time of their life. That's not how it's explained in Ecclesiastes. He says, it's the evil days. What does it mean? It means there's a lot of challenges that come along the way in later years. But he says, remember, and this verse is not for all of us here, but it's especially for the young folks. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. What's he saying right here? He says, the time to serve God and commit to serving God is in your youth. Don't wait until you're old. Don't wait until most of your life is behind you. Don't wait until you've had your fill of sin. I've heard folks say, well, they're sowing their wild oats. Well, you know what? That's not, there's no scripture that supports you sowing your wild oats. There's nothing good that's going to come out of you sowing your wild oats. He says the time to remember the Lord and commit to the Lord is in your youth. That means it's right now. Wherever you are, at whatever point you are in your life, the time to serve the Lord is right now. Start in your youth. If you start in your youth serving God, if you're a faithful young brother or sister in serving the Lord, you not only are going to receive a host of blessings, many, many blessings in your life, but I'm telling you, you'll be a blessing to other folks as well. You'll be a blessing to your parents. You'll be a blessing to your siblings. You'll be an encouragement to those that you go to school with, those that know you, if you commit to serving the Lord in your youth. Start serving Him where you are right now. Don't say, I'm going to put it off. I'm going to do it when I get married, or I'm going to do it when after I've raised my family. I've heard folks say, well, I'll start serving the Lord when I retire. I'll start serving the Lord. I'll start traveling around to different church meetings. Do you know the time to serve the Lord is right now? Do you know what? I believe that you believe that or you wouldn't be here. There's so many other distractions and things that would take away your time, that there's so many other places that you would be. I don't think you'd be here today if you haven't made that desire and commitment to serve the Lord in your youth. Do you know what? Those of us that are older, we look back on our life and we never, ever regret the time when we started serving the Lord, but we do regret the time before we started serving the Lord. You want to know why your parents are so wise? Because they've been there. They don't want you to make the same mistakes that they've made. They don't want you to go down the same path that they went down. They don't want you to make the wrong turns that they made along the way. And that's why that your parents are so wise. I'm almost 56 years old. I qualify as a senior citizen. But did you know what? I realize now that my mother has so much wisdom. And I didn't realize that when I was a teenager. I didn't realize it when I was in my 20s. But now when I face decisions and challenges, after I've talked to the Lord, you know who I talk to about it? My mother that's almost 80 years old, because she has a wealth of wisdom. And by the way, young folks, God has given you a special, special blessing. He's given you a special blessing of your mother and your father. Don't take that lightly. Did you know that you cannot serve God if you're not honoring your parents? Galatians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, you can check me on it. It's Ephesians 6, I believe, verse 1 says, children, obey their parents in the Lord. He goes on down. You wonder what's right. You wonder what's wrong. Paul tells us. He says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right in the eyes of God. It's right in the eyes of your parents. It's right in the eyes of you to honor your father and mother. And then he comes down and he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he says, honor thy father and thy mother. Which is, it's actually the fifth commandment, but what it says here in Ephesians, which is the first commandment with promise. It's the fifth commandment, but it's the first commandment with promise, and it's a twofold promise. Did you know that there's two promises that follow you honoring your father and mother? That your days will be long upon the earth, and that it will go well with you. I believe that that verse is certainly there for us when we're in our youth. It's certainly there for every young person here. God has ordained and set it and arranged that you are to honor your father and mother. And I believe we're to do that, especially in our youth. But I believe that verse has a lasting impact on it. I believe that verse is carried through all through the life of your parent. And if your parent lives to be an aged old parent, you have the privilege of honoring your father and your mother. I was telling some of the folks last night about these two old sisters. And I mean, they were old. They were very old. Sister Sandra knows who they were. They were neighbors to Sister Sandra and her mom and dad. They lived across the street. I was visiting in the home of Brother George Johnson and Sister Jamie. And I said, you know, I've never met anybody 100 years old. Brother George says, well, my neighbor's over 100. Would you like to meet her? I said, sure. And I was young like you all at that time. And he said, well, he got on the phone. He called her daughter. And he said to Sister Lissy, and they were Primitive Baptist of a little church on Colgate Street in North Lubbock. He said, would it be all right if I've got somebody that'd like to meet your mom? He's never met a 100-year-old person before. And she was about 103 at the time, 103, 104. Her name was Martha Knowles. Sister Sandra could tell you a lot of stories about Sister Knowles and Sister Peak. So we went over and visited with Sister Knowles and Sister Peak, her daughter, who was caring for her in their home and lived out in Idaloo. We actually became good friends. And several times I had the blessing of taking them to church and taking them to the association at Cone one year. And you should have seen us in this little Toyota Corolla, a wheelchair sticking out the back. It wouldn't even close. And so we're driving around down the road with the wheelchair sticking in the back. And at the time, Sister Knowles was 106 years old and her daughter was 18 years younger than she was. She was 88 at the time. But she took care of her mother until her mother passed away. The daughter was 92, caring for her mother 110. I'll never forget Brother George taking us over to their house. And Sister Knowles was 110 at the time, and she was Bedfast at the time. And her daughter, who was 92, had broken her hip and she was in a wheelchair. And I'll never forget witnessing her daughter at 92 feeding her mother in a bed that was 110 years old. And I thought right there, that image was frozen into my mind. I thought, I never have any excuse for not honoring and caring for my parent. Young folks, you will be so blessed if you honor your father and your mother. God will bless you for doing that. I encourage you, Psalm 119 verse 9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? You may be thinking, how do I start off on the right path? How do I cleanse my way? He says, by taking heed thereunto, unto thy word. God's word is there for young people. Young folks, a real good place to start is in the book of Proverbs, and there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. It's excellent to go through and read and apply, and you'll be surprised how much that you can take and almost put your name in the place and realize that it's talking about you. He starts out in Proverbs chapter 1, such rich instruction for us in the book of Proverbs. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive the words of understanding. Isn't it amazing how much at age 16 you think you know? I mean, really, I don't know how many 16-year-olds we have here, but I remember when I turned 16 years old, I had a driver's license, I had a car, I just thought I knew everything. And you have to wait till you're about 40 before you realize that you didn't know nearly as much as you thought you knew. We had one sister that came to church that hadn't been in a long time, and she said after the sermon, I really didn't know how much I didn't know. Well, that's kind of how it is when you get to be 16, 18, 20 years old in that age group. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Young folks, did you know what? It's really good to have knowledge. To have knowledge and understanding. But it's also good to have discretion as well. And you need to pray that God will not only bless you to have knowledge, but God will bless you to have discretion as well. And one of the greatest helps that you're going to have in that is this wonderful couple, mom and dad. They're going to be able to help you in knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear. When you think you know it all, last thing you want to do is hear somebody else. But he says that a wise person, young person, a wise person will hear. And he'll increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels to understand a proverb and the interpretation and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And then he says, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It all starts with the Lord. If you don't have the Lord in your life, if you don't have a love of the Lord in your heart, you don't really have much to go on. But if God has touched you, and you know if God has touched you with His Spirit, if God has touched you, if He's quickened you, if He's given you spiritual life, you have the love of Christ in you, He's saying you need to fear the Lord. He says that's the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. So you can't just say, well, it was the preacher that told me I need to listen to my parents. Right here, it's the inspired word of God that says we need to listen to our parents. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. It's something that's going to be beautiful. Isn't it a beautiful scene? when you see a family and you see a godly mother and a godly father and you see children that are obedient to their parent, their parents, and you see a family that's serving and honoring the Lord. He says, they shall be an ornament of grace about thy head and chains about thy neck. And then he says, and this is the warning that we sounded earlier. He says, my son, if sinners entice thee. First of all, the best thing to do is to, if you possibly can, if it's within your ability, if it's within your power, you abstain from the very appearance of evil. That may mean that you may need to change your course. It may mean that you need to change your friends. One brother that I know well in the southern part of the United States, his son has struggled with, he said, my son was an A-plus student in high school. My son went to college and he did so well the first and second year of college. But he said the third year of college, he began to associate, he was impressed with this one particular group, and he began to associate with them, and then he began to partake of their activities, and he says, now my son has struggled with heroin addiction for over 10 years. He's been in and out of facilities over and over again. He got married and he's lost his family. He says he's lost his job. He's lost his home. He spends about half the time in jail. He says, this is strange to say, but he says, my wife and I actually have a comfort level when he's in jail because we have an idea that he'll wake up the next morning because he's not going to be exposed to doing an overdose. I said, how much of that? If you were going to put it on a scale of 0 to 100, how much of it on a percentage basis would you say was the result of peer pressure? I was shocked. He said, 100%. Now, I'm not saying that's the case in every case, but I'm telling you, peer pressure is real. People want to be accepted. They want to fit in. They want to be in the in crowd. And peer pressure is real. That's why I'm so thankful that you're going to the singing school. You're going to be around some godly folks. You're going to be around sinners, but you're going to be around a group of folks that are trying to serve the Lord, that love the Lord, that have made a commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I remember years ago over at Brownfield, Texas, a visiting preacher was preaching a message one night, and he said, if you make the commitment in your youth to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, that's going to eliminate a whole lot of choices that you have to make if you make that one commitment that I'm going to follow my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know a great way to follow your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is follow in gospel baptism. Baptism does not get you to heaven, but it is the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism was taught to us by our Savior. He set the example of us, and we have the privilege of following in gospel baptism. And do you know that baptism is an evidence to you and to all of those around you that you've made the commitment that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, he says, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. If they say, come with us and let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up as alive as the grave, as whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. He says, cast in thy lot among us and let us have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. He says, don't go down that road. You abhor that road, abhor that path. Chapter 3, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. I want to just toss this out to young folks. I want you to think about this. You may be thinking, you're going to be making a whole lot of decisions. You'll be making a decision about where you're going to live. You'll be making a decision about what you're going to do. You'll be making a decision about where you're going to go to school. You're going to be making a decision about who you're going to date, who you're going to marry. You're going to be making a whole lot of decisions. You're going to be making a decision, as I mentioned, about where you're going to work, what you're going to do. Did you know that you need to keep this in mind, that God is the one that's blessing you with the gifts and the talents and the abilities that you have? And that if God blesses you with a job and he prospers you to be able to have a home or a car or be able to care for your family, that it's ultimately all God's. That you are simply a steward of what God has given you. But it all belongs to God. Your talents, your abilities, your gifts. And you should ask, as you're making these decisions, you should ask and you should pray, Lord, how can I take what you've given me? How can I take the talents you've given me? How can I take the abilities that you've given me? How can I take the gifts that you've given me? How can I take those things, and how can I, especially in my youth, how can I use those things to serve you? You want to experience joy in this life? The greatest joy in this life is serving the Lord. Do you know how you serve the Lord? By serving the Lord's people. By looking around and finding somebody that has a need. And praying that God will use you in the gifts and the talents and the abilities that you have to be able to fill that need. And did you know that you'll go for the purpose of helping somebody else and you yourself will be blessed in that? I can't tell you how many times that Brother George used to round up. He called us his boys. He'd round up his boys and he'd take us to the hospital to visit different ones, to visit the sick. And we'd go to encourage. I know Brother Kenny's done it many, many times. Been with Brother George to encourage somebody that was sick in the hospital, that was downtrodden, that was discouraged, that was depressed, that maybe was diagnosed with a terrible illness. And did you know that we went to encourage them, but when we left, we ourselves were encouraged. God blesses so much that not only do you get the blessing in helping them, but that you leave and you receive a blessing as well. He says, honor the Lord with your substance. That just sums up what we were presenting right there. Whatever God has given you or whatever God gives you, you use it to serve and honor the Lord. And he says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. I never enjoyed any of the correction that my father gave me. My father was from the old school. That probably tells you enough. He believed in correction. He had a leather belt that he used, and it was generally very, very effective. I didn't like the correcting hand of my father at all. One time, my father didn't take us to church, but my father believed this principle in God's word. I don't know how he knew it. Maybe his parents had taught it to him. But one time, I remember I was very young, I decided, you know what, I just don't think I want this whipping. So I ran from my dad. Anybody ever done that? I don't encourage it. It did not work for me. He didn't chase me. He called me to him, and when I went, he gave me the spanking that I deserved, and then he stopped, and I thought, man, this is over with. You know, let's move on. He said, now I'm going to spank you for running from me. It just didn't pay to run from my dad. And do you know what? It doesn't pay to run from the Lord. The Lord knows how to get our attention. He knows where we are. And you know what? We can't hide from the Lord. The Lord knows who we are, where we are, and He knows what we need. And if we run from the Lord, He'll get our attention. And generally, it's not going to be pleasant. If you want a scriptural proof of that, you can go over and look at Jonah. He ran from the Lord. He got on a boat, and he had a pretty rough ride. And he had a pretty surprising detour. Now, if I was going to run from the Lord, I wouldn't get on a boat, because I can't swim. I wouldn't get on a plane either, because I can't fly. But I don't encourage you running from the Lord in any respect. Because you know what Jonah ultimately ended up doing? What the Lord wanted him to do. And it was after a pretty rough journey. I don't know if I've ever shared this. Some of the folks back home said, I wonder if they're going to video your sermons, because we did last year watch them. I don't know, and don't know if they'll see this or not. But probably the only person here that even knows this besides me is Sister Jamie. I was filling appointments around, primarily at the church at Crosbyton. And Brother Jackie Peterson, Sister Ruby's husband, said, the church is talking about maybe calling you to pastor the church. And I was in my late 20s at the time. And I thought to myself, this has just gone entirely too far. I was willing to go and help and encourage, and if there was any benefit in my efforts, then I was thankful to the Lord for that. But this stuff about being a preacher and a pastor and all that, that's not what I have in any of my thoughts. I don't even see it in the horizon. Maybe I'll consider it when I get to the ripe old age of 40. I remember thinking those thoughts. And so I called Brother George, who was my pastor at the time. I said, Brother George, we need to talk. He told me the folks were considering calling or talking to the Lubbock Church about calling for my ordination. And I said, listen, this has just gone entirely too far. I want to stop. I want to stop filling the appointment at Crosbyton. I want to stop speaking in the name of the Lord. It's just gone way too far. I don't know if any other preachers have been there. Maybe so, maybe not. I met with George at work. We had a little, Anderson, you toured Texas Tech yesterday. We used to have a little clothing store across the street on University Avenue, about 15th Street, something like that. Brother George came over to the little clothing store, and we went to the back room, and we sat down. He said, okay, if this is the decision that you've made, I'll inform the folks at Crosbyton. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. He'd sometimes put his hand on your leg, kind of like what Brother Afton did. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, if the Lord is in the matter to call you to preach the gospel, you'll preach the gospel. And he said, you may stop for a season, but he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I can stand the heat in the kitchen a whole lot longer than you can. I didn't know what he was talking about. But you know what? I found out. When the Lord turns up the heat, and you know why? Nobody has to tell you. It got pretty warm, and I could tell you some of the challenges that came along our way. We had 6 or 7, 8 clothing stores, and the bank that funded us, they closed, or they sold out, they went under, and we lost our financing, and one by one we had to have going out of business sales. The doors began to close one after another, and I finally realized what Brother George had told me. God had given him some wisdom. And I can remember after about a 2-year stint of experiencing the heat of the fire, I can remember the very place that I was at when I said, okay, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do where you want me to do it. I didn't know where that would be. But the Lord has a way of bringing you to the point that you'll serve him and you'll follow him. And sometimes, because we're so stubborn, we take a wrong turn and we take a ride in the belly of the whale for a little while. Young folks, I'm telling you, don't do what I did. If God has called you to serve him and to do something in his service, in his kingdom, don't put it off. You serve the Lord in your youth before the evil days draw nigh. Brother Kenny said, how much time do you need? An hour, hour and 15 minutes? I said, oh, an hour is more than enough. So we're going to stop right now. But if the Lord blesses, we're going to look maybe at a later time about putting on the whole armor of God. For young folks, it fits you well in your youth, not just in your old age. Put it on and use it to the glory of God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. God bless you.